I look around this room and I see lots of different faces. And I know that we've got a lot of different interests, right? There's just a lot of different interests here. Some of you might, we might be surprised at who it is that might have some of the same interests or the same background. But there are many different backgrounds here. I was thinking today, I wondered how you felt about this. We had some new musicians on the stage today. Did you see them? Yeah. From the oldest, we had Dale. What are you, Dale? 82? 82. The oldest musician on the stage today, 82, and the youngest two were 7. 6. The youngest was 6. Wow. You know, we're kind of all over the map here in terms of interests. There are, if I could say it this way, in this midst, some of us might even say there are a few odd ducks in this room. No, you wouldn't be that. You wouldn't be that. Socially unacceptable to say that. But we have a calling. Here's the deal: we have a calling, and God has brought people together from all different walks. He's been doing this around the world and across time. He's brought all sorts of very different people together. And you know what it is that unites them? It is what it is that pulls them together is His grace. And it is His grace in the Lord Jesus and in the equipping of the Holy Spirit that empowers those people to actually bridge the gap and be able to work together. It is His grace that gives them a common mission. It is His grace that transforms them in the process and actually coordinates what they do together. Some of you have already picked up today our family prayer journal. And on the back of that family prayer journal, there's a picture of one of our missionaries. And he and his wife taught elementary school in La Habra for many years until they sensed God's calling to go to a completely different culture and to be used of God to equip other people in ministry. I remember when I heard their testimony in my office, it was like, wow, where did you come from? And how did you come up with this kind of a passion? God uses all sorts of people. I want you to just follow along as I read some scripture this morning. We are doing a study, and what has propelled us into this study is this theme that we share with our school, with Whittier Christian School. And both of our campuses, the Maybrook campus and this campus, we're following this theme that comes from Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. Read it with me, would you? This is from the ESV translation, I believe. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Paul is writing in this very, very happy letter, to a people who are a long ways away from him at the time he's writing. But he knows that they've all been pulled together in a very, very important ministry. Now I read. Once again, now I'm going to be reading from verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the leaders there, the overseers and deacons. But I'm writing to all of you. This church is about 16 years old. 16 years old. And they've already had an impact, very significant impact. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. Really? In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day. Oh, I remember that day. On the riverbank. Oh, when that first group of believers came to Christ. from the first day until now, being confident, very confident of this, that he who began a good work in you as a church there at Philippi will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And that work would go on and on and on and on in that place and way beyond them. Decades and centuries, the work would go on. Verse 7, it's so right for me to feel this way about you all, or all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Father, I pray that you would give us insight, each one of us, and a deep appreciation for what you're doing in our midst and through us and around the world, because it's your work. Let our confidence be in you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll notice in your notes that I titled the very first point here, Deep Thoughts and Veggie Tales. Anybody have been having some deep thoughts about Veggie Tales lately? Susie just raised her hand. She leads our preschool, so I understand. That's good, Susie. But there's really a connection here. I want you to stick with me for a minute. I want you to think about this. What comes to your mind when you think about the people that are a part of Calvary Baptist Church? Now, some of you are very, very new to Calvary. You don't have a real broad base of understanding of who the people are here. But what comes to your mind when you think about the people from our church and our school? Our church and our school. Because it was really cool to hear you clap for Claudia and for Christy. That was really cool. They are part of us. They're part of what we're doing here, right? Is that right? They really, truly are part of us. And we might be in different campuses, we might be here at different times of the week, but we're part of this together, and we're part of each other's lives. So I ask you the question again. What comes to your mind when you think about the people in this ministry? Is there a sense of truly, really deep appreciation for the people that God has pulled together through this ministry? And what would it be that would fuel your thoughts about these people? I want you to think about this. And you can even write yourself a note. What fuels my thoughts about the people that are involved in this ministry? I'm not asking you to just kind of bring this out of nowhere. What is it? It's when we... Maybe it's the prayer journal, but don't limit it just to the prayer journal. What is it that fuels your thoughts about the people in this ministry? Now, some of you are involved in growth groups, and maybe immediately your thoughts go right to a small group of people that you meet with once a week to talk through the implications and the application of this morning's message. What is it that fuels your thoughts about the people here at Calvary? I think, let me tell you what fuels some of my thoughts. It's some of them come from your prayer requests that have you filled out your Keeping in Touch form? Make sure, I'm going to ask you to be real ambidextrous right now. You've got your notes, take that Keeping in Touch form, and you can share prayer concerns. But let me tell you about one of the things that fuels my thoughts and fuels the thoughts of the elders in this church, the leaders of this church. Every week, almost every week, there is someone in our church that shares with us the names of people with whom he is speaking about Jesus. It's like every single week, this person shares. I shared Christ with this person that I recently met. And would you please pray for this person and this person, as they that they might want to grow in Christ, or that they'll ask questions. And I've got to tell you, every single week, that inspires this pastor deeply, deeply in my soul. And likewise, the elders here give great thanks. Deep thoughts as we think about people who on a regular basis are sharing Christ with others. I think of someone else who comes here who, on those keeping in touch forms, actually asks us to pray for family members who don't know Jesus. I mean, it's a very consistent thing. And we have seen family members show from that person's testimony, we have seen family members being drawn to Christ. When I think of that person who went through a pretty tough time a while back, I think, wow, I know why that person's still around. I know. And God is using that person to bring family to Christ. I think of people in our ministry who persistently, I'm thinking of our school family, who persistently share Jesus with students. And there are really a number of them, but let me just name a couple. One is Audrey Wilson, and Audrey grew up in this church. Audrey is now teaching we'll call it, for lack of a better word, a combo class, a second and third grade class. But Audrey has a heart for evangelism, and she shares Christ with any and every student, year in and year out, and leads many to Jesus. On our Maybrook campus, I think of Debbie Height, who teaches first graders. In her church, she teaches an adult class. She needs a break, okay? But she teaches kindergartners, and she has a passion for these kindergartners to come to Christ. And Mr. Ely, Mike shared with me, well, I sure hope I get this story right, Mike, that it was just this year, that there was a mom that came, and she was in the background. Am I getting this right, Mr. Ely? Do you know where I'm going with this? Oh, well, it was a good story anyway. But Debbie was, she's talking to the kids about how they can be saved by Jesus, by the blood of Christ. And there was a mom who was visiting her class that day. She was just visiting. In fact, Debbie didn't really, was kind of almost unaware of the fact that the mom was there. And she listens as Debbie talked to the first graders about how they can know that they're saved from their sins. And she went home. She said, this mom knew nothing about what she was talking about. She was clueless. She went home, turned on her computer, and looked up on the internet what it is to be saved. When she found out what the internet would say about how you can be saved, she went back to Debbie Height, and Debbie led her to faith in Christ. Whew. What do you think about when you think about the people involved in this ministry? And what is it that fuels your understanding? There's another person that's involved in our ministry that is really cool. This person serves in such a wide spectrum. I mean, just, it's like when there's something that needs to be done around here, if it's a work day, if it's working in Awana, if it's working in the kitchen, if it's doing some cleanup, if it's just being there, if it's handing out brochures to families in the community about our homework club, this person is there. But she also has a passion for sharing Christ. And she probably wouldn't say that she's this dynamic evangelist. But she shared with me in a prayer request, or with us as elders, in a prayer request recently on that Keeping in Touch form, would you pray for me and my relationship to someone I walk with on a regular basis? About her, it seems like her basic understanding of the Bible comes from VeggieTales. And man, I'm just like, this is cool that somebody's bridging the gap with another adult, and it's through VeggieTales. Isn't that cool? What is it that fuels your understanding of the people involved broadly in this ministry? Paul says, you know, every time I think about you, I am just full of joy. Verse 3 and 4, and all my prayers for all of you, I give thanks because we are partners. We are in this together. And we've been at this, been partners, for some 16 years. Now, verse 7 again. It is only right for me to feel this way about you. The word feel in a number of translations is actually most correctly translated. It's only right for me to think this way about you. It's only right for me to bring up memories about who you are and what you're involved in. Now, do some of the people in this ministry sometimes get under your skin? Thank you for that honest response to somebody who may have been around you for a while. Yeah, somebody said, sure. Yeah, sometimes people are, I said that there's a bunch of odd ducks in this place. Oh, Pastor, are you? No. We just don't all do everything the same way. But what is it that fuels your thoughts for which you give thanks for these people here in this ministry? What fuels it? How are you getting to know them? How? I think of Claudia and the years that she's been here and the way she pours herself into the lives of students and staff in a very wide variety of ways. And I know she has a passion for the things of God. What is it that fuels my understanding of her? It's 23 years of observation and consistency and faithfulness. We've been partners in this, and it's all been because of God's grace. At the conclusion of the service, I'm going to tell you about this right now, so I don't forget now and later, you're going to get a yellow card. And those of you who would like to pray for our staff, and this yellow card will introduce you to our teaching staff on this campus, the elementary teaching staff on this campus and over at Maybrook. There, we have 32 cards. You can each take one and begin to get to know our staff. On the back of the card will be the staff person's name, and social security number, bank account number. No, there will be their email address and their address. And if you're going to take a card, it would be most wonderful if you would begin to build a relationship with them so you can pray for them and they can pray for you when the need is there. And I have to tell you, we've done this in the past. This will bless you, and it will bless them deeply. Want you to get to know them. And Susie, it would be great if your staff, we'll have some of these from Susie's staff as well based on these same questions. But this just came out of devotions in the last couple of weeks that I did on both campuses. So Paul says, it's only right for me to think this way about you, to feel this way, to think deeply about you, since I have you in my heart. And then he goes on to say, for whether it's in chains, I wonder what he meant by that. He was in chains. He was literally in chains as he's having these great deep thoughts about them. I mean, you got to think about something, right? When you're in chains. Well, the chains, he was bound, and there was a Roman soldier that was bound to him. 24/7. Some duty, right? But God was using all that. You know, as I was reading that, I was thinking about Paul's chains. And I just want you briefly to think about this. In chains, Paul was bound to make a difference. He was bound to make a difference, right? And I want you to know, like that pun, Marilyn? Marilyn likes puns. We're of that age when we sometimes like puns. These people right over here, puns, it's like, oh, give me a break. There's no drum roll or a little, yeah, just won't work to rescue me from that. But Paul was bound and he was making a difference as he was bound. And you have chains, don't you? Some of those chains are some of your, they're probably your own making. And some of those chains are, you can honestly say, I didn't do anything to deserve these chains, but I have these limitations. And Paul said, even in the midst of this, God is working. I want you to think of some of your chains. And as you've got your notes right there, I want you to just, would you please think, the best way you can make use of those that little space in your notes is for you to just think through some of your limitations. Some of those limitations might be your location, where you live, where you work. It might be a chain. You say, I don't like where I am right now in life. Someone told me this morning about a serious limitation, and that's weighing heavy, weighing very, very heavy, and understandably. And if I were to tell you what that limitation was, you would say, "Oh, what can we do to help?" Some of those limitations, those things that bind us would be our family background, our education, opportunities that have come our way or haven't come our way, disappointments and disabilities. I think of last Friday, I visited one of the people who has been part of this church and has been both part of the church and part of our school. She actually ran when we came here, she had already been running the daycare here at Whittier Christian. And she had an impact on all sorts of young lives, students and the students and the young adults who worked for her. And I visited her the other day. And I read this passage of Scripture to her. And she said, at least in the translation I was reading it, she said, it sounds like he was writing to a bunch of Southerners, or he was a Southerner, because it's got this all y'all. It's got all the y'alls. Look at that, verse 7 and 8. I'm so thankful for y'all, I've been thinking about y'all. And she said, but all that. But she is lying in a bed and gets up only a couple times a day under doing therapy. Does she have some limitations? She has some limitations. But God is there in the midst of her cell, and she's still intimately a part of this ministry. Can you believe that Francis prays for us? Do you understand that when Bill or when Dale takes a bulletin to her in a prayer bulletin, can you understand that Francis is intimately involved praying for us? And that's somebody I want on my side. Big time. And she's not kidding when she says, I know what's going on in that ministry, because she's been paying attention for decades. It's just, wow. Brad Dacus last Sunday, who just did such a wonderful job preaching here, he's from the Pacific Justice Institute. If you didn't get a chance to hear the message last Sunday, please go online and listen. And you can just go onto our website, calvarywhittier.org, and listen to the message from last week. But one of his points was we all need to deal with adversity. He said, you will have adversity. You will. Dan had us sing songs today about the things that we go through, but we all will have adversity. But God already has a plan for your adversity and mine. He does. Sometimes we run around like a bunch of chickens with our heads cut off, as if it's over, it's over, it's over, I'm all done. God has a plan for your adversity and mine. Colossians chapter 4. Just write this scripture reference down, would you please? Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. There, in that portion of scripture, I'm just drawn to this scripture over and over again. Paul says, pray for us too, that God may open a door for the gospel. Would you please pray for us too? Did I name some people? I didn't name the people. Did I describe some people this morning from our congregation who have a passion for sharing Christ with their families? Could you be willing to pray for those people who have a passion for sharing Christ with people? And maybe pay attention so maybe you'll hear. Maybe you'll actually have a conversation with some of these people if you get around and mix it up with some of the people right here in this room today who regularly have a passion for sharing Jesus with other people in their lives. Just a few weeks ago, Israel, during his announcements, shared that there was a seventh grader who gave her life to Christ that morning during Sunday school. And it was just, I mean, we talked about that a lot, and we continue to talk about that. But in large part, it was God's grace channeled especially through her brother, who's a senior in high school, to reach this person for Christ. Pray for us. No matter what your limitations are, pray for us. No matter what our limitations are, pray for us. Jordan read some scripture this morning. Write this reference down. If you haven't, I tell you, that scripture that he read this morning as we began the service was from Psalm 22, verses 22 through 31. Read it and read it and read it. But read it in the context of worshiping with God's people as to why the psalmist said. Actually, the beginning of that psalm is considered to be a messianic psalm. So this is something, a prayer, this psalm is like a prayer of truth that we share with Christ. We're bound to make a difference. And in that, the things that limit us, we instruct each other, we remind each other who God is, we encourage each other. That's what Psalm 22 is all about. We remind each other, we encourage each other, we pray for each other. And it goes on and on. And this pattern has been followed by God's people generation after generation. Verse 7 continues. Since I have you in my heart, for whether I am in chains or defending myself or confirming the gospel. Defending or confirming the gospel. Paul was telling the good news over and over and over and over again. We've had some illustrations over the past few weeks. Recently, someone shared with the elders, and initially shared with me about somebody who's been part of our ministry and been in the hearing of what goes on from the pulpit, has been in the hearing of what goes on throughout other venues of our ministry for the last number of years. And just a couple of weeks ago, in the midst of a conversation, said, "That's the first time I've ever understood the gospel." When the question was asked, "Do you understand what the gospel is? Do you understand what the good news is about Christ? Do you understand what it means, what the gospel means to your salvation?" The response comes back, "I don't know. I don't have a clue." After all those years and all those messages and all that teaching, do you understand what the good news is? "No, I don't." But brick upon brick, saying it over and over and over again, clarifying, here's the good news. God gave his only Son so that we could be reconciled to him. God gave his only Son so that we could be reconciled. The relationship between us and God would no longer be severed, but we would understand his amazing love in his amazing grace. And we could actually be clean and forgiven of our sins. Do you understand? That's why we say it over. Paul was saying, I know that we're in this together. Whether I'm in chains or whether I'm absolutely free and I'm out there and I'm talking to everybody and I'm talking to this group and I'm saying it over and over again that God said he would send his son and he did. And the son said he would die and he did. He was crucified. And the son said he would be raised from the dead and he was. And the son said, whoever believes in me will go on living even if he dies. Do you believe this? You believe it. Paul said, I know we're in this together. I know we're in this together. Whether I'm chained and I'm talking to the guard next to me, or I'm out free sharing the gospel just as freely as could be in synagogues and in city squares, I know we're in this together, defending or confirming the gospel. And finally, he talks about sharing in God's grace. And this reaches out and grabs my attention. Paul says, all of you share in God's grace with me. Here's what that means. All of you share in God's grace with me. You know what? No one here would come to Christ based upon your own smarts, right? Not based on your own smarts. No one would come to Christ based on having the most godly family in the world. You don't get into the kingdom of God that way. The only way you get into the kingdom of God is by grace. God getting through this thick skull, my thick skull and yours. The nicest person you know, they've got a thick skull and a thick heart. The only way you get in is by that. By the grace of God getting through to you. And here's the amazing thing. God, by his grace, pulls us together. And I want you, here's the reality, guys. We are so much involved in a team effort right here that you might have brought somebody to this place, but it will take somebody else by God's grace to get through with them and to connect the dots. You might have a wonderful relationship with people that come into your life, a wonderful relationship. And you might have laid out even before your children who Christ is, but it will be somebody else as part of this ministry who will get through to them to just connect the dots. And it wasn't because they were necessarily smarter. It wasn't because they were necessarily more convincing. It was because of God's grace. Paul said, we all share in God's grace together. We're on this team because of his grace. And only because of his grace. We're on the team. I'm so thankful for the people that God has brought into my life. And I'm thankful that he's using you truly, deeply in my life. Not just VeggieTales. Okay, we got some guys that have got the yellow cards. Would you guys, if you'd stand, you guys that have the yellow cards, these two guys are gonna come through right now. We've only got 32 cards, but if you would like to have a card and know some of the people in our school, some of our teachers on this campus and on our Maybrook campus, would you raise your hand and they're going to put a card in your hand so that you know who you can pray for. And all right. Here's one. This is a powerful opportunity to get to know people. I asked the question, what fuels your thoughts? So you know who to pray for. And begin to develop a relationship with them. Give thanks for them and share your story. Let me tell you what the questions are that I asked them. One, what do you do at Whittier Christian? What do you do? Just here's the question so you can understand that card. Number two, what makes you feel fully alive? Number three, what's your favorite food? That's an important thing. One of you is going to have a card that says spicy. And I tell you, that person you cannot put down with anything too spicy. What's your greatest concern or deepest fear? Number five, what's your great recent joy or encouragement? And number six, how are you involved in your church? As we do come from different churches. Let me, if you didn't get a card, see these guys afterwards. We'd love to have the people from Calvary developing a relationship through which we can give thanks. Father, I thank you so much for this ministry and for all the different ways that that we can be pulled together by your Spirit and by your grace. And I thank you, Lord, that it's not our promises, it's yours. I thank you that it's not up to the energy that I bring to the table. It's by your grace, the energy you give us to do your work. I thank you that we're in this together, one person to the next in this church and throughout the broad scope of this ministry. May you be honored. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.